Grace and peace, everyone. I am Pastor Dave here with Pastor Steve, and welcome to Faith Talk, a worship companion podcast from the West Toledo Parish here in Toledo, Ohio. During our episode today, we will continue our deeper look at our Lenten sermon series, Rabbi Jesus.
And today we're looking at Mark chapter 12, the first half, really.
Yeah.
Talking about the vineyard.
It's
leased out to tenants who are bad, very bad,
bad
people.
Tenants. Bad, bad, bad.
And you talked about it too. It's back in Isaiah 5, there's the hearers of this would have heard this thinking that Jesus is going to start talking about the Isaiah passage.
Yeah.
Where the people of Israel are likened to a vineyard that God plants and patedges around and does everything for it, and all he gets is wild grapes.
Yeah, and if you guys remember, it was this year, earlier in our narrative lectionary, we covered that reading in Isaiah, because I talked about I ended up growing my grape potatoes. Remember? That's
the great potato
my grape
episode.
Potatoes. Yeah, that was our reading from Isaiah. Yeah.
So in this one, he kind of does a little left turn on him, and he starts talking about tenants that are in charge of taking care of the grape field, or the vineyard. So it turns out that he's really talking about the leaders of Israel.
Yeah.
You can think of it as religious leaders, but it's probably also, again, they don't have the same idea of separation of church and state. So they had a state religion. So the Jews thought of themselves as a nation. So the way the nation's supposed to be run is more of a theocracy,
yeah,
in our terms, right? So it's run by a king, but the king is run by God.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing is all the leaders of Israel really are kind of, Jesus kind of puts them on the judgment stand, if you will.
Yeah. Does not paint them in the best light.
He does not paint them in the best light. So it's really about, you know, having proper stewardship as leaders, right? And many of us exercise that. I think you pretty much stressed pastors as the leaders, and yeah. And the Bible has a lot to say about, you know, people in ministry.
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's risky business.
It is. It's not all eyes on me. Yeah. You're in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of responsibility there.
Yeah. And corruption and all that. The Bible has a lot to say about, it's to get into ministry, you're put under more judgment than.
Oh, yeah. You know, I like it. I liken it. I don't want to say like as in like, oh, I like. I liken it to any type of like elected public official, right? Like if you ever wanted to run for office in you know a public setting, you better be prepared for people to start digging in places you didn't even think were places to dig in.
Right.
Because they will go back, oh, well, remember back in third grade and the schoolyard, you ended up stealing this ball and then punched a kid in the face. How do you think that you can adequately represent the youth of our, you know, I'm like, whoa, I forgot about that. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I remember that kid. I should go apologize to him. But, you know, and Luther, you know, Luther even has a lot in the small, in the catechism about, you know, how pastors should behave and what they should be doing. And, you know, in seminary, they give us, I had to take a whole class on pastoral theology and how I was going to define myself as a pastor. And how am I going to behave and perform and where do I see my duties and, you know, all that stuff. It's a big thing.
Yeah. And in Luther's time, it was a real problem because there's not only corruption going on and kind of selling of clergy offices.
Oh, yeah.
There's also a lot of lack of preparation, let's say. Mm-hmm. That they didn't not all the clergy were necessarily educated the way that they should have been.
Oh yeah, when we're doing over here at the All Saints campus, we're going through Luther's Small Catechism as adults.
Right.
And in the preface leading up to that, I was doing some research and letting, you know, all of the members attending know that's like, well, why did Luther write this? Well, he actually took a tour. He took a tour of a lot of the now Protestant churches.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my gosh, these pastors, they can't recite the Creed of the Lord's Prayer. What the heck?
Right.
So he's just like, we've gotta write something. So that's, you know, it was his inspiration after his, you know, tour to write the catechism and say, this needs to become the standard. This is our baseline for how we're going to, you know, lead worship.
And the catechism was really written for the heads of households, mm-hmm. right?
To be taken at home.
Yeah. So even there, you're seeing kind of that shepherd's role or this leadership role that we're kind of talking about here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a stewardship even in your household to be held responsible for how the vineyard of your kids
absolutely
are raised.
Absolutely.
Right?
And it's, you know, it's one thing that I appreciate when we do infant baptism.
Yeah.
And granted, I understand, and I don't want this to turn into a debate or anything like that between the differences, the pros and cons of, oh, baptizes infants, baptize when, you know, they can make the determination. No. What I am pointing out, though, is when we do infant baptisms, because in our tradition, we will baptize at infant or as adults, doesn't matter to us. One baptism, that's all that matters. Because they're infants, we're putting the parents on the hook because we're saying, you, at this point in time, you're taking the responsibility and you're making the promise, not only before God, but to one another and in front of this congregation, that you are going, you know, Christ will be made known first to your child in your home.
Yeah.
And you will bring them to church and you'll bring them to the Word and you'll, you know, you'll make that accessible and you'll help them grow.
Yeah, and we're also praying that the Holy Spirit just takes free reign.
Yeah. Yeah, exorcism ritual here.
Yeah, so we won't get into all that. But the next step, though, is as Christians, we're often given responsibility for others around us in a way that we serve God by serving others. We're going to kind of get into this next week. Kind of more, you know, we talk about the
Shema
commandments. But our responsibility is to be stewards over whatever field God has given us.
Yeah.
Right. So the way that a Christian business leader is supposed to work is not just about the profits or about their station in life or having ultimate power.
Yes.
It really is about understanding that you are responsible for the people's lives who are entrusted to you as a leader in any capacity, whether it's a small team or a large company, that these people are in your care. And it's not just about profits. It's not just about making the goals of the business, but it's shaping things in a way that takes care of those who work for you and those who will use whatever product or service that you're providing.
Yeah.
That you take good care to make sure your people are developed in a way that best uses their gifts.
Yep.
That we are all in one way or another, we are all the tenants in this story who are entrusted with a responsibility for a field that's owned by God.
Yes.
And that's the big difference. You mean the way we glorify the name of God, you know, are we hallow God's name?
Yeah.
Is by how we perform these duties and responsibilities in our life, regardless of where that field happens to be.
Yeah. Because sometimes it's not the most glamorous, you know, some
right.
fields are dirtier than other fields.
Right? Right.
And we're like, well, this isn't the fun part of the job. I don't like this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I'm reminded of when I was working as a bartender in Columbus, I had Deej, who was, you know, he's a foreigner who was, he was a legal immigrant into our country who was working to send money back home, but he was Christian, but approached it from a different angle than I did. And just one day at the bar, when I was in the lobby, he came over from the coffee shop and he just sat down. And he's like, you know, Dave, he's like, everything I do, I give glory to God for. And mm-hmm. everything, like when I'm eating this plum, mm-hmm. and it was a juicy plum, let me tell you. Every bite he took, there was plum juice coming out. He's like, when I give glory to God by eating this plum.
Yeah.
While I'm eating it, but because I'm eating it, I'm giving glory to God because God gave me this plum.
Yeah.
And when I go play soccer, I'm giving glory to God because I love soccer. But also, God gave me the ability to play soccer. Yeah. And I'm like, well, thank you, because that was a good, it was a perspective that I often overlook.
Yeah.
You know, that I think a lot of times when we think about honoring God and hallowing God's name, we look at it from very specific religious practices,
yeah.
or practices that are somehow connected to a religious institution or our religious identity. And we ignore the fact that, you know, the very fact that we are breathing is a method of which we can give honor and glory back to God, because it's with our breath that we can say a word of love and compassion to somebody else. It's our breath that gets us up and moving in the day, so we can go out and be a smile or holding the door or something as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always have to be going to the food pantry or donating all of your stuff away.
Yeah, the whole idea of Christian community is that we are formed by the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing a lot of stuff in the Bible Project stuff right now. Everything goes back to the creation stories, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So it's this idea that there's stuff there that God forms or shapes, you know. And when we come into the family of God, it's like that baptismal thing, that the stuff of us
mm-hmm.
is formed in Christian community in a way that changes the way that we interact in the world.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the whole thing that's going on. So it's supposed to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it's supposed to change the way that we approach things. And Jesus clearly in the Gospels expects that we approach the world differently than the Gentiles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Or the people that don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Or the people that don't follow this way of Christ. There's expected to be a difference. And that difference is oftentimes in our approach, our mindset. And that works its way out in all sorts of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the stewardship idea that everything that we are, everything that we have belongs to God.
Yes.
God is the owner. We don't own anything.
Nope.
You know,
I mean, we like to think we do.
Well, you're into home ownership now.
Yeah.
But who really owns your house?
Oh, Amy.
Well,
and then outside of her would be the bank.
Yeah, right. You know, you're paying on that thing for years, and it's the same thing when you buy a car on credit. You know, it's mm-hmm. the bank holds the title until that thing is paid off. But even if you pay it off, it's only in your hands for a while, because you come to it 10, 15 years later, mm-hmm. that car isn't what you pulled off the lot.
Oh,
right?
No, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's the same with our homes, that they deteriorate over time. Everything in this world is transitory.
Mm-hmm.
Even our bodies.
Absolutely.
We're kind of tenants. Mm-hmm. So it's this idea that everything passes through our hands. It's entrusted to us by God. And then the whole thing is, are you using it in as God would have you use it? Mm-hmm. Are you caring for it? Are you thinking what God has in this? I mean, that's kind of what the story's about, right?
Yeah.
'Cause God creates this vineyard with a purpose in mind,
mm-hmm.
and expects something from it.
Yeah.
and the tenants are refusing to give God God's part in it. And it's just you and I are given, and everything we're given, it's what does God have in this? What does God have in those three little girls that you're raising?
Oh.
Right?
God has a lot of stake in those kiddos, let me tell you.
Right? And what does God have at stake in your neighborhood and, mm-hmm. and how you use your home and all that stuff? So all of it belongs to God. We're renters at best.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're tenants.
We are. We truly are. And I think, you know, on one hand, it might sound like kind of a defeatist approach, but on the other, it's a liberating and freeing thing.
Yeah.
And it plays into that whole freedom of a Christian.
Right.
Right? Because now that we are, if I am free from the compulsion to accumulate wealth, then, well, I'm free to give.
Yeah.
You know, it's very counterintuitive. And I know this wasn't as much about wealth, but you had mentioned something earlier in our podcast here, and it reminded me of a story that I just saw the other day about Dan Price, who is a CEO out in Silicon Valley of a company called Gravity Payments. He's the founder of it. And in 2015, he came out and he said, you know what? I'm going to give a pay raise to every single one of my employees so that every single one of them will make $70,000 a year.
Yeah.
And he did, in order for him to do that, he had to take $1 million pay cut.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much he still makes after that $1 million.
Yeah.
But,
well,
but he took a pay cut to make sure everybody else had a certain standard of living. And everybody else in the financial field predicted the bankruptcy of that business. And it's still going strong now in 2024. And that was 2015.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing that happens, because if you do it in God's way, it all, as opposed to what we might think, it always works out better.
Yeah.
You know,
it does.
It's like the person that will probably do a better job being in charge is the person who's not seeking it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that person who's willing to climb over everybody else and knock the competition out of the way. That's not the person you really want to have in charge.
Yeah. I mean, they might look that way on paper.
Yeah.
They have the ambition, the motivation, and the drive.
Yeah, they might have credentials mm-hmm. that they've accumulated.
And they're networked, and they're, they're connected.
And they know how to write a resume, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And then you're wondering how much you can even trust that resume, and if they're not somebody that builds cooperation, if they're not somebody that's going to let other people shine, you know, it's not going to work out as well as what you would like. And, you know, it's part of the problem that's happened in corporate America when you make it all about the vice president's bonus or
keeping the shareholders happy.
And the upper echelons making a ridiculous amount of money while everybody else is just can't even make a living. I mean, that's the craziness.
Yeah.
And that's what this story that Jesus tells is all about.
Yeah.
Right.
It reminded me, I mentioned it briefly at one of the services at the Epiphany campus, because that's where I was. So listeners, you'll get to hear my sermon over there. But I remembered when you were leading us, our staff, and we were going through the scripture, because we're doing the shepherd leadership in our staff meetings. And you had us going through, and I think it was one of the ones that you assigned me to do, like an Isaiah or something, where he was talking, the judgment was coming for the fatter sheep.
Yeah.
Right? That's the situation. We have, you know, we do have instances where there are certain sheep, you know, getting fatter than others, and it's at the expense of others. They're taking a bigger share than what they should really have. So it's got to be mindful of that. We can also be doing God's work, but again, if we're just doing God's work for our own glory and satisfaction and gain, then it's not for God at that point. It's my work. It's something for me.
Right.
You know, and that's not what God's calling you. That's not being a good tenant. It's not being a good steward.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to talk about this coming week, you know, serving God necessarily leads us into serving others.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
So spoiler alert, that's coming down the pipeline. Coming down the pipeline. But I mean, those themes kind of follow almost, they're the consistent themes that always need to be, we need to be reminded of that all the time.
Right. And that's what this story leads into, which is the reason that comes next. Jesus has a train of thought going through this teaching.
Yeah.
That, you know, one thing necessarily dominoes into the next, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this week, it's all about stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking care of what God has entrusted to you.
Yes.
Understanding that it is a high privilege to be given stewardship over anything that's in your life. It's a high privilege to serve God's purposes in our world.
Yeah.
It's a high privilege to be part of God's redemptive plan.
Amen.
Go and do it.
Amen. Because God believes you can. So... Well, hey, we want to thank all of you so much for spending time with us here today on Faith Talk. We would like to thank our podcast composer, Sam Smithberger, and our technical administrator, Jessica Dennis. You can subscribe to Faith Talk wherever you find your podcasts. I recently had to switch mine from Google Podcasts over to Spotify.
Yeah, I switched mine over to Pocket Cast, I think
it's
called.
Yeah. So we're out there. We're in all corners of the podcast universe. Just go ahead and search for Epiphany Lutheran Church, find that blue star, and then click subscribe. Join us next week as we continue our Lenten sermon series, Rabbi Jesus. We hope you enjoyed your time spent with us here today. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Till next time.